Little Mermaid live action remake 2023. Hello, everybody. It is Friday, May 26th today, and the live action remake of Little Mermaid has just come out yesterday, around me at least, on the 25th. But I am able to go this afternoon. I've got my tickets. I'm going to go see it in the theater, and I'm very excited about it. So I wanted to talk about my anticipation of it, what I know, and then I will come back afterwards and talk about my review, is the plan. So, this version of Little Mermaid is a live action remake of the classic cartoon from my childhood that I loved so much. And I have just put out a podcast where I went through the music and reviewed it, and I have some mixed feelings, but there are some great standouts on the soundtrack, in my opinion, and I'm still very excited to see the movie. Some of the pictures have been just gorgeous, and I think some of those undersea scenes are going to be fabulous on the big screen, so I'm very excited about that. My hesitation and my nervousness about the movie is sort of the seriousness. And that does seem to be, in my opinion, some of the downfalls of some of the remakes that have come out, is trying to make it too real, take some of the fun and magic out of it. And I am a little worried about that for this remake of The Little Mermaid, that it might not have the magic and fun of the original. And I feel like that kind of happened to the Lion King remake. And some of the others, I think The Jungle Book, I really did not like the remake. So there's definitely been some flops with that. But there's also been some good because I loved the Beauty and the Beast remake. I thought they did a fabulous job on that one. And that did keep, I feel like, a lot of the whimsy and fun from the original. So I feel like it's possible to be done, but they don't always hit the mark. There have been a lot of remakes. I'm trying to think of all of them. And there's been a lot of live action remakes of these movies. And like I said, they've been hit and miss, in my opinion. Some of the Beauty and the Beast was a huge highlight, in my opinion, as one of the best. And The Jungle Book is one of the worst, I think. I enjoyed Aladdin, but I don't know if it was as better than the cartoon. I would probably choose to watch the cartoon if I was picking between the two. I enjoyed The Lion King, but again, I'd probably pick to watch the cartoon version if I was picking between the two. So, in my opinion, it's very rare for the live action version to really live up to the cartoon. I didn't watch the remake of Mulan. I probably will eventually, but as soon as I heard it wasn't a musical, I kind of lost interest. I've heard they turned it into like more of an action movie, and they took the music out, and I almost am not watching in protest because why would you take the music out? There's such good music in Mulan. I'm so sad about that. But anyway, we're talking about The Little Mermaid today, not my complex history of or feelings about Disney's history of remaking all of their movies. Because every time I hear there's going to be a remake, I get excited about it. I love the concept, and then often I am disappointed in the actual finished product. So I'm going into this movie with all those mixed feelings of being worried about it, but excited. And I don't know what will win here for me. I think that the actress they have playing Ariel and the actress they have playing Ursula, from what I've seen, and the songs are going to be fabulous. And those are two very important roles, so that should be really helpful. I am a little nervous about losing the whimsy in the underwater and losing some of the bright color and fun. So I'm hoping that they're able to keep that and they don't make it too drama and serious, because that I think ruins it for me. But like I said, the cartoon is one of my favorites. It came out when I was like 3 years old. It's one of I watched that movie so many times as a child. It is a classic and one of my favorites, and inherent for me as like one of those critical experiences. It's the first movie I ever remember seeing in a theater. I have vague memories of it, but I really do feel like, you know, some of those memories, I'm like, are those, do I really remember that, or is it just a piece? But I have very clear little flashes of memory, I think, of seeing it in the theater. So, and I've been told that I saw it in the theater. So I think that those memories are real, and they're real to me either way at this point. And I love The Little Mermaid, and I love the ride at Disneyland of The Little Mermaid, and I have enjoyed various shows of it. I did not love the Broadway version. It was okay. But all the new songs I didn't love, and there was some weirdness to it that I didn't love, but the stuff that was from the movie was a lot of fun. So I hold this movie and this story very close to my heart, and I'm really interested to see what they do with it. I'm very excited about it. And the only thing I have right now as like a downside is Ariel's hair, which I still feel like it should be a brighter red. If they didn't want to go completely over the top fire engine red, it should still be a slightly brighter than what I've seen in the pictures. I feel like that's too natural a color. And I know they're going for a natural red color that would exist in nature, I suppose, but she's a mermaid. Why can't she have a hair color that doesn't normally exist in nature? Are we saying that mermaids actually exist? I don't know. I just feel like, why do we have to be that realistic? I don't think we need that much realism. And every time I see her, I think the actress playing Ariel is gorgeous. I think she looks good, but I just wish her hair was a little more vibrant. I feel like that was a mistake to take away the bright red hair. I wish she still had the bright red hair. I feel like that would be more fun, in my opinion. That is what I would have liked to see, is that bright red hair, and I'm missing it. So that is my one quibble to start, really, that I have before actually watching the movie, is just from the little clips and pictures that are out there. I really wish Ariel had a brighter red, more vibrant, fake red hair. I think that would just make me happier, is if she had slightly brighter red hair. I know that they were going for it on purpose. They want a more naturalistic look. I just don't agree with that as, you know, as a thing. I don't get why that is important. I don't get why that's necessary in this particular case. Like, we're talking about a mermaid. She's got freaking fins that are green, and she, you know, she's not human. So why can't mermaids have different hair colors that don't exist in humans, you know? That's where I'm at. I am, as soon as I saw the pictures, that is the thing that my brain goes to, is I wish she had more vibrantly red hair. And I will keep harping on that. That is my big quibble. I will try not to harp on it when I actually talk about the movie, because it is what it is. They're not going to change that. So I'm going to try to keep that out of my head and just watch and enjoy the movie. But that is my initial quibble that I have. And the songs, I already did the whole podcast about what I think of each of the songs, so I'm not going to necessarily go into that right now, but I will talk about it after I watch them to see if any of them either improve or get worse, in my opinion, based on seeing them in context with the movie. So that maybe will be interesting for me. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to say before going into the movie, to get on sort of record before I actually watch this. And I guess it's really just that I'm still super excited. I was like looking at tickets as soon as I knew when the date was going to come out. I have today a Friday off because of Memorial Day. I have a 4-day weekend, and so I have Friday off. I'm able to go to the movies, and I have been planning. I've had it on my calendar for ever since I had the date that Ariel or The Little Mermaid was coming out, that I knew I was going to go watch it as soon as it came out, and I was ready to go. So I have been waiting for this. I'm super excited. I am ready to go. And I kind of can't wait. So that's happening. I'm going to be heading out to the theater in just a couple minutes, and then I will come back right after and tell you guys everything I think about it. That is my plan, is to come right home and just vomit out all of my thoughts about the movie, good, bad, and ugly, and I will let you know what I think on my standard rambling review of what how this movie feels to me and what my thoughts are on it. So, wish me luck. Think good thoughts. I'm really hoping this is good. I want to come out bubbling with excitement. I don't go into this thinking that I'm gonna hate it and, have all these bad things to say. I'm super excited. I want this to be good. So, I think that's all I've got to say for right now. Wish me luck. I will be back for you immediately, and for me in a couple hours with my review of how the movie actually went. I'm excited. Yay! And we're back, everybody. All right, I just got back from the theater. I went up to my favorite ritzy fancy pants theater where they have the big, comfy electrical recliners that go back all the way almost to like a bed, almost flat, and they bring you your food and everything to your chair in the theater, and they have a full menu of like food, and they serve alcohol and all sorts of stuff. It's a very fun theater. I prefer that for my experience because I am a snob. But also, I don't go to the movies very often, so if I'm going to, I like to make it an event. So that's where I went. It's called the Cinépolis. Is the chain. It's actually a Mexican chain, but they have some in Southern California too. I don't know if they have or anywhere else. But they're really fun. I enjoy it a lot. So that is where I went to go see The Little Mermaid. And that part of the experience was great, as it always is. And the actual movie was also fantastic. I had such a good time. And here's the part where I mentioned that there will be spoilers in this. I am not going to limit what I talk about. I will be talking about the entire movie, plot points, the ending, all of it. So if you haven't seen the movie yet and you don't want to know that stuff, this is your chance to get out. But here we go. Spoilerful, here we come. All right, so I really loved it. The beginning stuff where they're underwater and all the different really bright, colorful, fun sea creatures was great. I was so worried about Under the Sea, but I thought they did a good job with it. I still like the original version of the music better, I think. But watching it in the movie, I liked it better than if when I was just listening to the soundtrack. And I was so worried that they would take some of the fun out of it, and they didn't. I really liked all the sea creatures and all that stuff, especially in that song sequence. It was fantastic. Love it so much. When we get to meet the sisters and King Triton, they took out the song where they originally introduced all the sisters, and I was fine with that. I think it was fine to take out that piece where they're in like this big concert, and instead it's like this yearly gathering of them all, I suppose, that Ariel is late for. So she still has an event that she's late for, so that works. I liked all the different sisters. I liked that the sisters were more involved. They still are small parts, but we saw them in multiple scenes. They had various talking lines. They weren't just in that initial like meeting of all the sisters, where they still kind of had that initial meeting of the sisters scene, but then they were also later on in the movie, interacting with Ariel just a little bit when she's cleaning up, and then they are there again, like looking her for her when she's missing and all of that. I just felt like the sisters were a little bit more apparent than they were in the cartoon, at least in my remembrance of it. And I haven't watched the cartoon in forever, so maybe I should, to see whether these comparisons are actually accurate. But these are comparisons to what I remember. And I don't remember the sisters being a big thing, and I feel like they were more front and center here, at least in my what I saw of them. They had the creepy shipwrecks. I thought that they had it was interesting to say that there were more shipwrecks in this version. It seems like that the King Triton is maybe making the seas rougher and making more shipwrecks happen because he's mad at humans. I don't think that's completely explicit, but that's kind of the message I got out of this. because he's mad at humans because they killed Ariel's mother, which I do think is part of the original storyline from the cartoon, but they kept that. Let's see. I loved Melissa McCarthy's Ursula. I thought that she was fabulous, and the way that they brought her in and how she was watching and her like magical peeping on Ariel and stuff was fabulous, and her song was great. Of her song, something that I knew had happened before I ever listened to the music. I'd heard that they had changed the lyrics to Kiss the Girl and Poor Unfortunate Souls. And I had talked about that in my song review episode, but for Kiss the Girls, but not for Poor Unfortunate Souls, because I completely missed when I was listening to it that they cut out an entire verse. And watching it in the movie is when I noticed that that verse is gone, because it's the verse where she talks after Ariel says that, without my voice, how can I? And Ursula has that whole, you'll have your looks, your pretty face, and don't underestimate the importance of body language. The men up there don't like a lot of blabber. They think a girl who gossips is a bore. Oh yes, on land it's much preferred for ladies not to say a word. And after all, dear, what is idle chatter for? Come on then, not all that impressed with conversation. True gentlemen avoid it when they can. Put the look and dote and vaunt on a lady who's withdrawn. It's she who holds her tongue who gets her man. And they cut that whole verse, which I have very mixed feelings about. Again, the scene was fabulous, and I apparently didn't miss it in the song when I listened to it before, because I didn't even notice. But this time watching the movie, I did notice, and I feel kind of sad that that verse is gone. From what I had heard beforehand, they changed the lyrics to be, I guess, I'm not sure, just less sexist, maybe. I know the Kiss the Girl one, they wanted to add more consent, and I think that those lyric changing works and it's fine. This, where they just completely cut out the verse, I mean, I get it, and that's a bad message. Like, inherently, just saying that, like, women should shut up and be quiet and men like you better when you're quiet anyway, that's obviously a bad message. But it's coming from Ursula, who is the bad guy. So, I don't know. I don't know that it needed to be changed. So, I feel kind of mixed about it. But on the other hand, the scene is still great without that verse. It still completely works without that verse. So, I mean, it's fine that they cut it. I don't have strong feelings about them cutting it because it still is fine and works. But I still like that verse, and I don't feel like I agree that it had to be cut. That's where I'm at. I'm not mad per se that it was cut, but I'm not happy that it was cut either. So that's where I'm at. I'm just ambivalent about the whole situation. Anywho, but Ursula was fantastic. And Ariel was really good too. I really liked the girl who plays her. I stand by the fact that even at the end of the movie, I wish her hair was brighter. Though it looked really good on land, it was a really nice color when she was out of the sea, but in the water, I don't know, something about the color it was in the water and the darkness. I wish it had popped a little bit more. But I will say that again, on land, it looked really good. I liked that color. So I guess it kind of works, but I still wish it had been just a little bit brighter red, a little bit more nod to the original cartoon. Getting more into the storyline and what's going on with it. I really liked this movie. It stayed really true to the original story. There weren't a lot of additions to the story that I noticed, really. Oh, the one thing that was different is that Ariel, in the curse that Ursula puts on Ariel forgets that she needs to be kissed to break the curse. So she's not pushing for it. So that means that Sebastian and Scuttle and Flounder are the ones who have to be like helping her remember to try and get the kiss that she needs. But she's still having a great time with Eric. I really liked the update to Eric's like kingdom, I guess. He lives on an island. It's vaguely Jamaica inspired, would be my guess. They've got the calypso music going. It's a very multiracial island, which is nice to see. But if I had to guess, it's kind of a Jamaica flavor to the music and stuff that I saw, very Caribbean at least. And which was really fun, as opposed to, I think, in the original cartoon, it was vaguely European, maybe Italian or something. So a seafaring nation, but this was literally like a Caribbean island, which also made the ocean stuff make a lot more sense because it's Caribbean Ocean, and all along the Great Barrier Reef there off the Caribbean coast is where I'm seeing that, which I got to snorkel in recently, so that was fun. So I was like, I was snorkeling on the Great Reef there off the Caribbean coast. And that is, in my head canon, the same coral reef that Ariel lives nearby and is living in. So that's my head canon now. She lives in the Caribbean and it's great. So it was gorgeous. The scenery was really nice. I loved all the ocean scenes and the beach scenes. The stuff about Eric on the ship was really good. I liked watching Ariel, watching Eric on the ship and getting like an introduction to him and his sort of contrariness. You get to see that she likes him because he doesn't want things to be the status quo. He's off looking for adventure too, and she feels a kindred spirit with him, which is sweet. And she saves him, who's again, same as the original cartoon. And then going to the castle and getting saved. This version, I think, makes it make a little bit more sense why she's like hanging out in the castle suddenly. That there's been so many shipwrecks, and they assume that she's, lost everyone and everything, and so has nowhere to go. So they're just like, you can stay here as long as you need to. Which, makes that make more sense than like originally, where she's just some random stowaway who washes up on shore and they're all like, yeah, stay with the prince in the castle? Sure, why not? I don't know. It made more sense here, I think. They kind of made it make more sense. And on their big day trip where Eric and Ariel are falling in love, I loved the scenes where she's going through the market on the island and then they're dancing on the beach with the whole like villagers and everything. Those scenes were so much fun. And Ariel, like, not knowing what to do with a fork, instead of being a crazy person in a formal dining room, she's just doing it in front of strangers in the little market that they're wandering through. So that makes, I like that. I like the nod to it, but without having to make it as crazy as it was in the cartoon. What else? I love that Ariel is a daredevil riding through on her, on the carriage with everybody. That's a lot of fun. I loved the kiss the girl scene where they're on the boat. All the visuals of that were so good. I stand by the fact that I feel like Scuttle was holding back on the vocals during that song and should have been more, but it was still a really fun scene and I thought it worked really well. I enjoyed it a lot. And I also enjoyed the way they got Ursula to come in as, pretending to be the one who saved Eric and using Ariel's voice to seduce him. And I also liked how they made it more explicit that Ariel had her, like, mermaid gift was being a siren, making that more specific and explicit that that is a thing, I think worked really well. Because, I mean, I think in the cartoon, if you know about siren lore, so to speak, it's kind of clear that that's what her voice is doing, or it's nodded to at least. But in this case, it's very specific and explicit that she has like magical siren singing as her gift. And that is why Ursula is able to use it to ensorcel. Is ensorcel a word? Probably not. But to magic Eric to make him do something that he wouldn't otherwise do. Which it is clear that she's using magic on Eric in the cartoon, but I think not quite as much that she's using Ariel's specific magic on him. Which I think is cool. It works. I like it. At the end, where Ariel's father, King Triton, gives the crown to Ursula to save his daughter from being Ursula's slave. Again, was almost a little darker than the cartoon because if I remember correctly, in the cartoon, it's more that King Triton is made one of Ursula's little slave creatures, whereas this one it seems like he's dead. I think he's killed, basically. He seems to dissolve into sand
at least, and he doesn't come back until after they kill Ursula, and then his Triton falls to the ocean floor and like sort of reconstitutes him out of the ocean sand, or the bottom of the sand. But I kind of thought he was dead, and I was like, oh, that's much darker. He didn't die in the cartoon. He came back at the end, and he did in this one too. So I'm glad about that because I would have been a bit upset if they literally killed off King Triton. That would have been crazy. So I'm glad that that didn't happen, but it was darker, I feel like. More explicitly dark, that it seemed like he might be dying. And then there's the whole scene where Ursula is fighting them and becomes giant Ursula and becomes and is impaled by a ship. And then she dies. And in some sense, I mean, that is also dark, but in some sense, I feel like it's not as impactful and dark as the cartoon version was. That again might just be my memory because watching it as a very small child, that scene was scary to me. So maybe that is just an adult watching it for the first time versus a child's version of watching it, but it seemed a little less, in my opinion. Anyway, but I had a good time with it. And the one thing I noticed that I feel like I didn't particularly love about this version is King Triton himself, the guy who plays him. I don't remember his name. He's a big actor, though. I think he's famous. I don't know. But he just felt very stiff. His face didn't move very much. I don't know. It just seemed weird. I'm not sure if he had some sort of prosthetic on his face or if his face is just looks like that, but it felt very like he had had, I don't know, Botox and none of his facial muscles moved at all anymore. It's like it just his face was just very stuck and dead, it felt like. And I'm unclear if that's just his face or if he had something done to it or prosthetics or what happened to make it like that, because it felt like he was supposed to have different emotions and he didn't, and his face just seemed off to me. And I'm not sure what that is, but it definitely pulled me out of it. I was like, what is going on with his face? A couple of times, and I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but that is, I did note that I didn't love what was going on with his facial acting in that sense. But I did really like the scene where he thinks that Ariel has run away because of him and his, you know, act of destroying her stuff from the human world and kind of getting his comeuppance of like having to let his daughter go, which is something that is from the cartoon as well, that he's learning how that he has to let his child grow up and leave the home and be their own person, which is a really hard thing for parents to do sometimes. And so I think that's a fun little message that's in The Little Mermaid that I do like, of this idea that parents have to let their children grow up and move on. Even if you don't completely agree with all their life choices, it's still their life to live. And I think that that's a great message for parents. It's an important part of parenting to be able to do that, even though it's one of the hardest things to do in parenting, I think. So I really like that that is part of it, that he has to let Ariel grow up and leave the nest. Okay, the other thing that I thought was weird in this movie was how they did the scene at the very end. I like that all the mermaids come out, but I thought it was really obvious, like, or weird that they all just suddenly appear. They're just everywhere. They're on the rocks. They're everywhere. You don't see any of them, like, coming up out of the water. It felt like we were just, like, up close on King Triton coming out of the water. And then everybody else just is there, and they're already out of the water, and we don't see any of them coming up out of the water. They just magically appear on rocks and on boats and just bobbling in the water. But it felt awkward to me. I don't know if it was just my first watch. You know, I'll watch this again when it's on Disney Plus, and maybe this scene will come off better, but it just seemed a little stiff and awkward, and a lot of the mermaid people also just seemed very stiff and awkward with how they were coming out of the water, and I'm not sure what that was about, or like if it was hard for them to, you know, be keeping they're floating in the water, or I don't know what, why they were so stiff and weird, but it felt very stiff and awkward, and it didn't feel natural for them to just suddenly be there the way they were. At least in my opinion,
I like the concept of the scene that the mermaids are all there to see her off, but it felt very weird, and it also felt very strange that none of the people were amazed by this. Like, yes, they know that mermaids exist now because Ariel came back, but they've still really, like, never seen a bunch of mer people before, as far as I'm aware. They've never interacted with them like this, so maybe there's supposed to be some, like, headcanon that off-screen, in between, they've now had interactions with the mer people. Now that Ariel and Eric are, like, betrothed, maybe there's been some time where they've been living in the palace and they've met them all. I don't know, but they didn't make that explicit. So for me, this is the first time these people are seeing a whole group of mer people, and they all had zero reaction to it, which I also thought was weird. It was like, wouldn't somebody react and be like, oh my gosh, that's so cool, or something? It just, that whole scene just felt very strange to me, felt very staged and awkward in a way that I don't think it should have. So I didn't love that scene. That stood out to me as problematic. As far as the new songs, I still stand by that Eric's song is kind of off to me, but I mean, it makes more sense for him screaming. Like, you see him in the video, he's screaming the entire song. Also, visually, he's off screaming into the wind and stuff. So, I mean, I think it is an actual choice that they had him screaming the whole song. I just don't particularly like how it sounds, so I still stand by that. But I think seeing him screaming, it does at least match up with the picture, and so it works a little bit better. The song where Ariel is having an inner monologue about, like, gravity pulling her down, I liked that song more here. I think it worked with what I'm seeing. Though it was kind of odd to hear Ariel's voice and not see her mouth move. Like, it was very much an inner monologue song, which I assumed from there, but it was still all kind of odd to hear it just kind of going on in the background while she was doing stuff, and it didn't seem like the regular musical thing where a character is actually singing. And they did at the end have her actually start singing, and you could tell, like, she was in her imaginary world. I kind of feel like maybe the whole thing should have been like that. I'm not sure. But somehow the way that it was just her, like, going through the world and having things happen while, like, her mind is singing a soundtrack was just odd to me. I didn't quite like it. I feel like, I don't know how this would have worked better necessarily. Maybe having even her, I don't know, in her own little world, kind of watching what's happening somehow. I don't know. But I liked the song. I think it worked in context, but I found it awkward to watch her not singing while her voice was singing, like, in her head. I found that kind of awkward. But it was very impactful after Eric comes up and says hello to her and she can't talk and he, like, deflates because she's not the one with the beautiful voice, and then that heartbreakingness where she's talking about how she's just realized the sacrifice she made with her voice and the choices she can't undo. And it was heartbreaking and beautiful, so that part worked really great. And the Scuttlebutt song, I still don't love it, but I think it was cuter watching the animals sing it and, like, go through, and in context and everything, it made more sense, and I liked it better in the movie than I did just listening to the song, but it's still not a favorite song that I'm going to want to listen to a bunch or anything. It is just for in the movie, and it's fine for what it is in the movie, but it's not one that I, you know, want to listen to on the soundtrack the way I will some of the other songs, like, for example, Poor Unfortunate Souls, which I love and will listen to all the time. And I think those are my highlights from it. I also really enjoy King Triton's, you know, the line. I think this is also directly from the cartoon where, you know, how much I'm going to miss her is the biggest problem that's happening with all of this. And again, it's one of those things with parenthood where you have raised this little person for their entire life and now you have to let them go and live their own life and live on their own and do what they're gonna do, and you just have to be okay with it. And I mean, I think it's one of the hardest things we ask people to do, and it's very important. You have to do it because it's important for your child, but I feel for him in that moment. I do think it's one of the hardest things that we ask parents to do, is to give up their child at some point, essentially. I mean, you still have them, but like, you have to let them leave home and go live their own life at some point, and people struggle with it, and it's hard, and it was so nice to see a dad struggling with that. It was beautiful, I think. And I also enjoy that Eric and Ariel are going off to like have adventures at sea and go into uncharted waters of the ocean and go exploring, which is what they both want to do, as opposed to them like now settling down in the palace, which is kind of what they do in the cartoon. They're gonna live happily ever after in the palace now, which is not what either of them like. So having them both like want to go off and explore the ocean, I think was a nice touch. It was very sweet. Yeah, overall, I really liked this movie. I had a really good time with it. I will not say that it's better than the cartoon, because the cartoon has a very special place in my heart and I will always love it. But this was a really good version of this story as well, and right on up there. I wouldn't say it was definitely not a letdown the way some of the remakes have been, and I had a really nice time watching it. And I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it again. And like I said, I will watch it as soon as it's on Disney Plus. I will watch it again and I will enjoy myself immensely with it. So it'll be one of those that would go on rotation for me as a really solid Disney movie, and I'm excited about it. So everybody go out and watch The Little Mermaid. It's fabulous. Have fun. Let me know what you think after watching it, because I really loved it. And I know I always have critiques of things. That's kind of my thing. I enjoy nitpicking. But I only nitpick the things I love. If I didn't care about it, I wouldn't nitpick about it. In any case, I had fun. Go watch it. Let me know what you think. And I will see you next time in my little corner. Bye!